The International Solidarity Movement is a Palestinian-led organization which brings together internationals and Palestinians for campaigns of non-violent direct action against the daily workings of the Israeli occupation. Founded more than 2 years ago, the ISM has brought hundreds of international activists to work in the occupied territories, playing a central role in the growing Palestinian solidarity movement worldwide. Specifically, the ISM has campaigned against the ongoing construction of the apartheid wall, the concrete 8-meter-high barrier which is currently being constructed throughout the West Bank. Peace Under Fire is a recently published collection of written accounts drawn from the internet weblogs and diaries of ISM volunteers, news articles, press releases, and reflections of those engaged in confronting the Israeli occupation on the ground in Palestine. I spoke with Radhika Sanath, an ISM member and editor of the recently published book, Peace Under Fire.
Basically, the idea of the book is to document the first 2 years of the International Solidarity Movement, which is basically a movement of Palestinians and internationals supporting Palestinian nonviolent resistance to the occupation and the apartheid wall, which is being constructed in the West Bank. And the book really does a good job of revealing the horrors that Palestinians face every day living under occupation through the eyes of the foreign volunteers that go there and live with them and see what they're experiencing. Through reading the book, it's a way to understand what Palestinians go through by seeing through the eyes of someone that's like you or me, you know, a Canadian or an American or a fellow Brit. And there's a real diverse source of writings contained in the book. People who are, you know, 70-year-old grandmothers to 21-year-old college students. We have Jewish authors, Muslim authors, Christians, Hindus. It's a real diverse body of writings from our members, you know, reflecting the diverseness of the growing international movement of Palestinian solidarity against the occupation.
Now, the international solidarity movement has, throughout the last years, increasingly made headlines due to its work on the ground in the territories. Maybe can you speak about the nature of what that work entails in the occupied territories, how things play out on the ground? From what you just said, it seems like there is really quite a diversity of people who do participate in the work of the organization on the ground. What does that manifest itself as in the occupied territories in terms of these campaigns?
For example, the book talks about the events a couple of years ago when international solidarity movement members broke the sieges in Ramallah and in Bethlehem, and includes the diary accounts as well as newspaper articles of people that were there. More recently, for example, the olive harvest campaigns that we have every fall, where foreign volunteers accompany Palestinian farmers faced with settler violence trying to harvest olives on their land. And the chapters are organized thematically so people can get the idea of what it's like for a Palestinian farmer whose income depends on the harvest of olives, trying to get to his land, being faced with settlers, being faced with Israeli soldiers, and being attacked. Foreign volunteers, along with Palestinians, have been attacked by settlers, and you can imagine what it might be like for a Palestinian family, a mother with their children going to pick olives, and being faced with threats on your life every day. Other events and kind of daily occurrences that the book talks about are just things like, for example, riding in ambulances. There's a very, you know, heart-wrenching account by Netta Golan, who is a Canadian-Israeli ISMer who's married to a Palestinian and lives in Nablus. And she talks about trying to get to the border of the West Bank and then to Israel to go to the funeral of her father, and she's with her baby in an ambulance, and how the ambulance gets stopped at a checkpoint and they're forced to wait for a half hour, and how thankful she is that no one in the ambulance is critically injured and they can wait, and just kind of the complexities of how the soldier that stops the ambulance is trying to be helpful, but just a young man doing his job, and he even sees the horrors of the occupation, perhaps gets a glimpse of it. You know, as an Israeli or Canadian, she does get a lot of privileges that Palestinians don't have. And, you know, she talks about her dear Palestinian friend who doesn't have the privileges that are afforded to her. And there are just so many different accounts from all different walks of Palestinian life, from villagers that are being kept from their land because there's a wall being constructed between their place of residence and their farmland, to being held at checkpoints every day while trying to commute to work. And you really see how difficult life is under occupation, that really you don't see through our media here, through our mainstream media. You know, a lot of the focus is not on the violations of human rights law and the everyday humanitarian crises that Palestinians face living in the West Bank or the Gaza Strip.
Now, you've worked on this book, Peace Under Fire, having had the direct experience of working in the West Bank for over a year, as I understand, with the ISM. So maybe can you speak about your experiences in the West Bank working with the ISM and why that drove you to feel this documentation project, Peace Under Fire, was something that was important?
Well, I originally came to Palestine and joined the ISM in October 2002, and I joined the Olive Harvest. And during that period, I actually was harvesting olives in an area of the West Bank that was a few kilometers from the Green Line, which is the 1967 border with Israel. And it was then that the first stage of the wall was being constructed. And instead of spending a lot of time, I would say, you know, accompanying farmers to their land and faced with settler violence, we ended up doing a lot of nonviolent resistance work to the wall being constructed in the West Bank. And that's how I actually ended up spending most of my time. And I was really surprised to see the instantaneous movement of Palestinians to nonviolence, and especially to nonviolent direct action. The first day I stepped into the West Bank was in a village called Jayus, which is 6 kilometers from the Green Line, the border. And bulldozers had started working on the land, which would eventually confiscate 78% of the village's land behind the wall. And villagers just started running down, first men and younger men, and then their mothers came down. And seeing that their olive trees being uprooted and being destroyed, ran in front of the bulldozers and literally started picking olives in front of the bulldozer and blocking the bulldozer's path with their bodies. And it was incredible to see this, because even though I did not buy the U.S. propaganda on all Muslims or Arabs being terrorists, I was very shocked to see this, because this side of the Palestinian struggle for independence was not being shown to me at all. You know, the nonviolent struggle, which is by far the most prominent form of struggle I noticed when I was living there for a year. And it was through this, through living day by day and having, you know, seeing all these different aspects of life under occupation that Palestinians live under. It's not just having your land confiscated. It's then also not being able to get to the land that you do have, not being able to take your daughter to the hospital, you know, faced with curfews daily, being made a prisoner in your own home, fearing that when your children do go to school, they might get shot because there's a curfew or a curfew might happen. And there's just such an amazing range of difficulties that it's just so hard to fathom. We thought that by encompassing a range of voices and visions, that this would be a kind of way for people who might not be able to go to Palestine and or maybe have gone to Palestine to see how others that have gone there it. And, you know, I put together this book along with a few others, and I learned a lot, too, even though I had been there for a year. For example, there are Israelis who have joined the ISM and who have written about their experiences, and even one letter from an Israeli reserve soldier, you know, really heralding the work of the ISM and saying that he really looks up to us and that we do amazing things. And you know, I was very surprised to read something like that. And there are also, of course, writings by Palestinian ISMers and our founders. So I would definitely say for people who are interested in learning what it's been like the past couple of years under occupation, it's a serious book and it's heavy, but it's not in such a way that it's like a heavy historical piece or a very political piece. It's written in everyday language by everyday people.
Now, I just have one final question for you. Mm-hmm. The work of the ISM, as we have spoken about, has been very intertwined these past couple of years with major events on the ground in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. We recently saw the decision of the International Court of Justice in regards to the separation fence, or apartheid wall, as many people call it, which is being built throughout the West Bank. Also recently, the Israeli Supreme Court made a decision which forced the rerouting of that wall around villages in the West Bank. Now, the ISM was very involved in the demonstrations around those villages, specifically Bidu and Budros. So maybe can you comment on the relationship between the ISM and this larger event and international criticism against the government of Israel and the construction of this apartheid wall?
Well, there's no doubt that the nonviolent movements and the international solidarities movement support of Palestinian nonviolence has played some part in these decisions, I believe. Since I was there when the wall first began being constructed, it was so difficult to get media attention around the issue. It was just a non-issue. And by having foreigners there, we noticed that whatever media attention that we garnered, you know, it was a little bit better. The American media was a little bit more interested if an American was there being faced by violence. The Canadian media was more interested if there was a local Canadian, and so on. And by having hundreds and over 1,000 volunteers coming to the West Bank, seeing what was happening and bringing it back to their communities, it's no doubt facilitated the international community's knowledge and understanding of what is happening there. I think people would be knowing less what's going on and less of the horrors and the humanitarian crisis that the wall is causing in the West Bank if it were not for the thousands of internationals that have been there. And, you know, now the ICJ has ruled that the wall is illegal and that the Israeli government must stop and take it down where it is in the West Bank, which is, you know, in most places. And it's really up to the international community to build a movement like that that was around the anti-apartheid struggle in South Africa against the wall that Israel is constructing in the West Bank. And I think the international solidarity movement will have a large part in that and in facilitating a growing movement of foreigners, Israelis and Palestinians, that are standing together against the injustice of what is happening in the occupied Palestinian territory.
You have been listening to an interview with Radhika Sanath, a member of the International Solidarity Movement, the ISM, and editor of the recently published book, Peace Under Fire. The book is a collection of written accounts drawn from internet weblogs and diaries of ISM volunteers, from news articles, press releases, and reflections of those engaged in confronting the Israeli occupation on the ground in Palestine. For more than 2 years, the ISM has brought hundreds of international activists to work in the occupied territories, engaging in campaigns of nonviolent direct action against the daily workings of the Israeli occupation. Specifically, the ISM has campaigned against the ongoing construction of the apartheid wall. The concrete 8-meter-high barrier, which is currently being constructed throughout the West Bank. It has been estimated that the wall will annex upwards of 50% of West Bank Palestinian land. To get more information about the international solidarity movement, visit www.palsolidarity.org. That's www.palsolidarity.org. To get more information about the recently published Peace Under Fire, visit Verso Books online at www.versobooks.com. This interview was recorded and produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe. Thank you.